from top to bottom, I think every game's a grind, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions. We'll start right down, right over here. Fourth row on the right-hand side.
Hi, Kenny Hodorabino, Devil's Digest. What would your to-do list for fall camp look like, aside from the obvious, establishing a starting quarterback?
For us, is continuing to establish a culture of toughness. You know, I think that's the number one thing that if you watch this league and you look at the teams that have continually won in this league and in college football that are joining this league, it's teams that are tough and training and teaching our kids how to respond to adversity, the good and the bad. And those are the things that we've been harping on the last year. Those are the things in fall camp that we're going to continue to preach.
Okay, we'll go to the left side. Fourth row right in the middle.
Hi, it's Rich Obey, Playmakers KU. So with all the new things happening in your program, a new conference, your second year, a new AD, what does a successful season look like for you guys this year?
I mean, this is a very cliche answer, but success in our program is being the very best you can be all the time at whatever you're doing. That's it. It's all we want to do. We want to get better. We want to grow every single day. There's not a win total. There's not a goal like that. It's just be the very best we can be at everything we do.
Okay, we'll go to the right side, row three on the far right aisle.
Hey, Coach. Justin Lastertosa, Devil's Digest. You talked about building a culture of toughness, and you've also used external factors like the EA Sports game, like your guys' place in the preseason tournament to sort of motivate your guys. So as a coach, how important is it to you to not only find different ways to motivate your guys, but different ways to relate to them as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think naturally my age, I kind of understand a little bit more what goes on in an 18 to 23-year-old's mind. But at the same token, you know, I was raised by a guy who went to the Naval Academy. You know, we're going to be 5 minutes early everywhere we go. We're going to treat people with respect. And I think at the end of the day, you have to instill a toughness in your team. And that's what wins consistently in college football. And yes, are there unique things that we may do that are a little bit different? Yeah. But the end game is we're trying to get the same result.
Okay, we'll stay on the right side, about a third of the way back on the far right.
Chris Cartman, Sun Devil Source. Kenny, what would you say are the big differences between your roster now versus a year ago, physically, culturally, or any other way?
Yeah, I think one, our guys know each other's names, which sounds like a little thing, but they know each other. They have relationships with each other. And then two is just pure strength. You know, last year we had two guys in our team who could squat over 600 pounds. Now we have six. Last year we had, I think it was 44 guys in our team who could squat 400 pounds. Now we have upwards of 65, somewhere in the 70s, I believe. So our size and strength of our football team was something that we focused on. And now that we've kind of hit our summer goals from that perspective, I'm excited to see it translate to football.
We'll go to the left side, third row, right in the middle.
Hey, Kenny, Colin Wilson with the Action Network. College football will now have tablets on the sideline with live video from every angle. Do you see that benefiting coaches that grasp that technology? And how specifically is it going to change Arizona State on the sidelines?
Yeah, I mean, it's like cheating. I mean, you don't have to see the game live. You don't have to adapt. I think really what it does is it's going to create bigger game plans, because before you may be able to get away with something that somebody didn't see, a twist game, the alignment of a linebacker being plussed over a three technique. Now people are going to be able to see it. So you're almost going to have to carry, in my opinion, a larger game plan in order to change when teams change, because they literally get to watch live video of you.
We'll go to the right side, right here in the front row.
Kenneth Berry, Touchdowns and Tangents. Coach Dillingham, obviously you had some wins and losses in recruiting, you know, NIL, you know, Rashada leaves, but you still managed to recruit a very good crop. What are some of the lessons that you learned, just from, you can date back to Oregon, but some lessons you've had to learn the hard way about, you know, thinking you had the perfect player and maybe like situations just didn't work out? And how do you kind of move forward with the quarterback room and how you kind of look for the recruits you want? And, you know, recruiting in general.
Yeah, we have three things that we look for other than the physical skills. We want good people. One of our goals of our program, our rules, are be a good person. We want people who make good decisions, making good decisions. It's another one of our rules. And then we want people who bring joy. You know, you're either going to be a multiplier in our program or a divider. And I don't want dividers. I want people who multiply. I want people who make people around them better. No energy vampires. And honesty in the recruitment process. That's the one thing I can say with a lot of confidence is we're going to tell you the truth when we recruit you. And you're probably going to have a better scenario when you're here than how what we tell you when we recruit you. And I think the key nowadays to college football is retention. And I think the only way to, if you're unless you can just have, you know, pay players more money, an unlimited amount of money, you have to gain their trust and be honest with them. And I think the retention piece of college football is the most important thing. And I think that's just trust and respect with your players. And right now in recruiting, our coaches aren't our best recruiters. Our players are our best recruiters. Our players are selling our brand. Our players are telling them that our coaching staff doesn't change. Our players are telling us the standards that are being set. It's not us recruiting. It's our players recruiting. And I think that's what excites me the most.
Okay, we'll go to the back of the room, about the 25-yard line on the aisle.
Hey, Coach. Chris Brown, AZ Bandcat Sports. Just wanted to know, have you had a chance to connect with Brett Brennan yet, and what have those interactions looked like?
Yeah, we've talked a few times. His son came to our camp this year. Good quarterback, good high school quarterback. So we've connected. Good guy. Excited to have him in our league.
Okay, we'll go right down here on the left side, right down in the front row in the middle.
Hey, Coach Michael Karras, into Sideline Sports. You talked about, obviously, getting ready for the team and stuff like that, going into coming from Oregon, knowing the Pac-12. This in this offseason, I mean, getting ready for these different teams. Not that you weren't excited or energetic before, but how has that offseason been for you in preparation?
Yeah, it's exciting because this league has probably more diversity in terms of defensive scheme than any league I've ever been in. This league, you see four down, simulated pressures, you see odd fronts, you see odd fives, you see four down fronts with 4-2-5 schemes, and you see four down with three high safety schemes. Most leagues I've been in have one or two flavors of the league. This league has a variety of flavors, so you have to be able to practice that throughout your fall camp and build that into your schedule so the first time your guys haven't seen it is the week leading up to the game. I think that's one of the funnest, or the most fun parts about this league from an offensive perspective. And then defensively, this league's turned into smash mouth, and you've got to practice tough to be competitive in this league. And that's something that I hope our defense embraces and takes on, is that toughness of what it takes to stop people in this league with all the running backs.
All right, we'll go to the right side, about three-fourths of the way back in the middle.
Coach Dillingham, Alex Blackburn, College Football Dogs. How important are the newfound strengths up front to this offense? With the strengths at the skill position as well, do you feel like you've given enough for Sam Levitt to thrive at quarterback?
Yeah, I think anytime a quarterback, the goal is to keep quarterbacks comfortable, is to get them in rhythm, keep them comfortable, and put them in positions to where they can have throws and they can have plays off. I think if you put everything on a quarterback every snap, right, that's very, very difficult for a quarterback to do. But how can you put a lot on a quarterback but be able to turn him off and let him just hand the ball off, let him just throw a bubble screen, let him throw a screen? And I think for us, up front wise, I think we have 9-10 guys right now that I would feel comfortable playing, which is quite the difference of last year when we lined up in the swinging gate because we traveled 6 scholarship guys, right? So I do think that's a drastic difference, and I'm excited about that.
Go on the right side, row 3 on the aisle on the far right.
Justin Lastertosa, Devil's Digest. You just talked about what you look for in your guys. You look for good people. You look for multipliers. But for you, out of the newcomers coming in, who are some of the guys that exemplify that?
Newcomers, there's a lot, to be honest. There's not just one guy. I think that's just the type of person we're trying to bring in. So I would say there's a bunch. I don't want to name out one or two specifically because I think that's doing the other guys disjustice.
Okay, we'll go to left side, about fifth row in the middle.
Tyler Waldrop, Tulsa World. Two-part question for you, Coach. First, y'all faced Ollie Gordon early in the season. Were you surprised at just what he sort of turned into from a national level after that? And then second part, what kind of unique challenge does he present when it comes to stopping him or slowing him down?
Yeah, no. I mean, he was great when we watched a little bit of film on him, and he was great when we played him. And the challenging thing is he's a workhorse, man. He's big, he's strong, and he just keeps going. He just keeps going. They can keep giving him the ball. And I think that's challenging, and he wears on you throughout a football game. And I think that's the philosophy Coach Gundy's built there. And I think he really fits that mold. That's the style of running back they consistently recruit. And he's a really, really, really good football player.
Okay, we'll go here to the left side, front row.
Kevin Turner, Sun Devil Radio Network. Coach, real quick, transition, head coach year one to year two, lessons learned. What's changed and what's going to make you a better coach in year two?
Yeah, you know, I love football. I mean, I've been coaching football since I was 18 years old, seventh and eighth graders, high school, coached linebackers, defense. I love football. And then, you know, after all those years, you become a head coach and you like, you just want to watch football. And you don't just get to watch football anymore. And what I learned is I've got to trust the people around me to do football more. And I got to remove myself a little bit from that and not get as involved in game weeks. Just because I love it so much, it's why you start coaching. But now that my role is different, that's one thing I learned is I got to remove myself a little bit. I got to trust that if I ask somebody to make Italian food and he makes chicken Parmesan, that I'm going to like the chicken Parmesan. I didn't want him to make meatballs. And if I want him to make meatballs, I should have told him to make meatballs. And I've got to trust that. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned is I'm not the smartest guy in the room and to trust people.
Okay, we'll go right down here, center aisle on the right-hand side.
Hi, Coach. Emily Van Buskirk, the Sporting Tribune. I have a two-part question. First one, how would you describe your home game environment to those that maybe haven't played there, or if you're trying to say, you know, this is what our football environment is like? And the second question is, if you could go golfing with one of the other coaches from this new conference, who would you take with you and why?
Yeah, I mean, our environment it's loud. We have one of the best student sections in college football, I believe, you know, and it's hot. So it's loud and hot. Normally we play at night. It's an unbelievable environment. I think pregame at our place is unreal with the Tillman statue and our players running right by it. I think it's something that it's unbelievable to be a part of. And for me, I would have to say, probably Coach Whittingham, just the success he's had and the consistency being at a place, you know, for a long time. I just have a lot of respect for what he's done. And he's a fun guy. He rides Harleys, right?
All right, we'll go over here to the left side, front row.
Coach Ty Kaplan, the Daily Toreador. You open up your Big 12 schedule at Texas Tech on the road. Can you kind of talk about how you overcome those nerves, or do you play into those emotions for that kind of a game?
Yeah, I definitely think our guys are going to be excited for it. I think from like a conference change and first game like that, I really don't think it's going to have an effect. But I do think we have to prepare for the noise. You know, we're going to play. Last year, there was 1.5 games where we had to use a silent count. I think most of the games on the road this year, we're going to have to be on a silent count. So how we practice that silent count, the variety of silent counts we use, I think we're going to have to be way more strategic with how we practice to prepare ourselves for road games in the league starting in Lubbock.
Okay, we'll take two more questions, both here on the right side, third row.
Hey, Coach. Tyler Budge, CF Budge. Last season, you guys had a pretty grueling injury bug. I remember you mentioning late last season, you guys couldn't even practice with two sides of the line of scrimmage. But despite that, you guys got a late win over UCLA, Washington State, including a really close loss in Seattle against a team that ended up in the national title game. And you guys had those guys dead to rights. What does it mean to have those types of performances late in the season despite that adversity, and what do you hope to take away from those performances?
Yeah, I think you have to learn how to win. You know, I think learning how to win, you never know when it's going to happen. It's very, very difficult. I think our guys have to learn how to win in the biggest moments. It's just the next play. And I remember vividly when I was at Florida State, you know, we struggled for 1.5 years there. to get it off the ground. And then we played Syracuse at home, 0-4. And we had a two-minute drive with Jordan Travis coming back as the starter. And I think he made about 97 people miss on that drive, led us back to win. And since then, that program's drastically different. The guys learned how to win. And it sounds cliche. It sounds, well, how do you learn how to win? It just happens. It happens through responding to adversity. It happens through happening. And once they get that belief that they can do it, that's when your program flips. And you hope that happens sooner rather than later.
Okay, we'll stay on the right side, row two.
All right, Coach Landwin Harrington with Stay Alive Power 5. How are you doing today?
Phenomenal. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So considering you're the youngest coach in the Big 12, and you talked about some of your experience with having a rough transition, becoming a head coach, and some of the downfalls you experienced last season, what obstacles do you expect to overcome in the Big 12 this fall?
Yeah, I think for us, not really many different obstacles. I think the obstacles we'll overcome, I don't know about yet. I think that's part of sport. That's part of everything is you can prepare for whatever you want to prepare for, but there's going to be situations that you have to be ready to adapt to. I think from a football standpoint, like I said, the noise, the atmospheres, traveling to small towns, maybe you have to stay an hour outside of town. So when do you leave for home games, and do you like the transition in and out of staying 45 minutes away from a place? I think those things are obviously part of the change, but I think the biggest thing is just the style of play that I'm excited for, and then the atmospheres that we get to play in.